Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Good morning, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, back fresh from the coast, the beaches of Normandy, where I had a fabulous time. I'll talk a little bit about that here at the beginning, but want to welcome in my ever perfectly coiffed, always perfectly coiffed co-host, Landon Mance. Landon, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Good to have you back, man. Good to have you back.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen your face. We spoke a little bit while I was across the pond, but it was a great time. So I'll just kind of mention just kind of real quick, especially for any of our listeners who are veterans of any kind, specifically veterans of war. So I had an opportunity with my wife, because it was what she wanted to do for her 50th birthday this year, to go to the beaches of Normandy. And we were lucky enough to get tickets to the commemoration ceremony, the 80th commemoration ceremony, at the American Military Cemetery that's right there just above Omaha Beach. So if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, Omaha Beach is the beach that they come up on at the beginning. We spent a lot of time at Omaha Beach. We spent a lot of time at the cemetery itself. The president of France, President Macron, spoke. President Biden spoke. There were 70 living veterans of D-Day that were there in attendance, from the ages of like 98 was the youngest to 108 being the oldest. Most of them were wheeled in wheelchairs, as you can imagine. There were a few that kind of just, you know, walked in basically. Like, I felt like they almost had to show off, like, I can still walk, and you know, come up this stage, and it's all on, you know, this big screen that everybody's seeing, because there was about 8,000 people there in attendance. Tom Hanks was there. Like, I got a picture of Tom Hanks walking past me. So it was a really, really cool experience. Obviously for me, our listeners who don't know, I speak French and English. English is my first language. French is a second language for me, but I speak it well enough and understand it well enough that, you know, you've got these talks that are going on in both French and English. And you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we having some connection issues. Yeah, can you hear me? Sorry, folks, we're having some issues here. Not sure if it's on my side or Austin's. Bear with us here for just a second. All right. Well, looks like we lost Austin, so I'm sure he'll jump back on here in a second. But just to keep things rolling, you know, I was talking to my wife Sunday, and we were sitting around the pool while our 4-year-old twins were swimming, and she asked me, you know, hey, where's Austin again? And I said, yeah, he's in France. Oh, you back?
I'm back. Yeah. It looks like when I came back and reconnected my device this morning that it connected to like the Cox Wi-Fi instead of my actual office Wi-Fi.
So. Oh yeah. Okay. No worries. I picked up when you got kicked out. I was just starting to tell a quick story, which I'll finish, which was Sunday, we were sitting around the pool. The twins were swimming, and Tia asked me again. She's like, "Hey, where's Austin again?" And I was like, "He's in France." She's like, "Oh yeah, that's right." And she's like, "What are they doing out there?" I'm like, "Well, Robin, Austin's wife, wanted to go out there for her 50th, and they, I said, I'm not sure if they planned it exactly, from a timing perspective, but they're out there on the, you know, commemoration of D-Day. And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. And then she starts to mention how one of her family members did a social media post about her. I'm not exactly sure how they're related. Again, I want to say it would have been like her great, great uncles or something. But she started pulling up her, you know, through one of the apps, you know, the family tree, and to, you know, where you can research your, you know, lineage. And so two of her, you know, extended family members were killed on the beaches of Normandy. And one of them, they were brothers, and one of them went and, you know, enlisted at 18, and he was killed at 18 or 19. And then his younger brother tried to enlist the first time when he was 16. They rejected him and said, come back. Went back when he was 17, right after his brother was killed. His mom signed the paperwork to let him join early, and he was killed in action about 18 months later. And it's just, you know, it's hard to kind of wrap your head around that, you know, that thinking that, you know, that they're, I don't know how much that happens so much anymore, but during a time of war, there were kids that were kids, you know, literally kids that were lining up saying, put me in, because they were, you know, they wanted to go fight for their country. And it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I, you know, the kids these days would say that they were just built different. Right. There's so much truth to that. The reality is, like you said, there are a bunch of people who lied about their age to be able to enlist and to get there early, and to be over there. And the reality is, it wasn't even our country that was being attacked. They were there to liberate others who had been basically enslaved, you know, taken over by the Nazi regime. And they're there on the beaches of France liberating these French people. And, you know, I could talk about this the whole show. I know that's not why we're here, but I'll just kind of mention a couple of quick things. First, it was a spiritual experience for me. There's 9,389 American servicemen and women who were buried in that cemetery. And we were able to walk, you know, amongst those people and to see, you know, the dates that they passed away and, you know, all those sorts of things. And it just kind of brings to the forefront, like, those people were willing to give their lives to provide freedom to other people that they did not know, right? And the French people in that area, at least, are extremely aware of that. They're extremely grateful for it to this day. You know, we drive through that area and there's flags, like American flags, British flags, Canadian flags, and French flags kind of just hanging all over the place. And, you know, we went on one of these kind of paid tours that allowed us to get access to different places that we probably wouldn't have been able to get access to with as many people as descended upon that small area of France. And we asked the tour guide, like, are these flags just up for the commemoration? And she said, well, there are always flags up, just to be clear. There are more right now, but there are always flags up. And so here we are 80 years later, and these people are still just extremely, you know, sorry, French words are coming to my mind now, extremely grateful for what the ally soldiers did to, you know, give them their lives back, so to speak, right? Now, it's a little bit weird, and the military people that we came in contact with, both that are active military today and some that have recently served, they have a bit of a rough time with this, because one of the things that the French people do in that area is they dress up in old American and British military uniforms, and they drive around in like the old Jeeps and, you know, all those kinds of things. And, you know, they're basically playing soldier as far as the actual military are concerned. And so they struggle with that. Mm. But the reality is that in their way, they're trying to show that they revere those people who did that for them. Right. And I think as a country today, we need to do a better job of revering our military for what they do for us today and have done over the years. Right. Mm. My own 24-year-old son said, my generation more than likely would just not do it. If that's what was going on today, they just wouldn't do it. They're not going to go out and sign up to go out and fight for somebody else's freedoms. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that. Now, that's a generalization, right? There are some that absolutely would. And they are the ones who are in our military today anyway, right? But there are many that just wouldn't. So it's a different generation. That's why they call them, you know, Stephen Ambrose calls them the greatest generation. And what they were willing to do was just, it's something that should never be forgotten. And our kids need to know this, right? Like, you have young kids, you need to talk to your kids about what this generation did to protect our freedoms today, but to really provide freedom to other people in other countries that have nothing to do with us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, that was certainly not on our agenda to talk about, but I'm glad that we did. Not sure there's more important topics that we could talk about, you know, than that. So thanks for sharing that, man.
Yeah, no worries. So let's get into what we're here to talk about, you know, family business. So let me just kind of kick it off, if you don't mind, with just kind of some background on family businesses. First, most businesses in our country would be called a closely held or a family business anyway. Like 95%+ of the businesses in our country fit under that definition, right? And so the statistics are not in anybody's favor who runs and operates one of those kinds of businesses. The chances of it passing to the second generation, not good. Not good at all. One, it's, you know, there's family members who just aren't interested. So maybe the kids aren't interested in jumping into the business, or it's not really something that can be passed along, or the current owner has everything in their head and they're not ready to be able to pass it on to somebody else. And so it becomes a frustration and doesn't ultimately work out. Or sometimes there's actually family strife or difficulty that comes into play, and there's three kids or four kids or two kids that all want to be involved in the business. And even though it provided a good life for one family, now all of a sudden you're talking about it trying to provide a life for two, three, or four families at the same time, and siblings that may see things differently and run and how the business should be run, et cetera, et cetera. And then obviously, you know, factor that again by two, trying to go to the next generation. And now all of a sudden you've got cousins that are trying to run the business that don't see eye to eye. There's a larger number typically. And so getting to the third generation, it just almost never happens for, you know, some of those reasons that I mentioned. So as a backdrop, that's kind of what, you know, we'll talk about here with family business. So what do you got to add there, Landon?
Yeah, it makes me think about, you know, the situation that you and I have both run across many, many times in our careers, where a matriarch or a patriarch passes. Generally, the you know, they're the surviving spouse. And there's a, you know, family home that's going to pass on to the heirs. And I can't think of a situation where I where those circumstances were in play, where the house wasn't sold. Because, you know, to get for everybody to get to a point, especially when there's, you know, three, four, five different, you know, heirs or beneficiaries, you know, for everybody to get to an agreement, other than, you know, divesting or selling of the asset, it's extremely difficult because there's almost always at least one person that's like, I don't want to keep it. I want the money. Sell it, you know? And so it kind of makes me think about that whole notion of fair, not equal, right? You know, that's something that we talk about. Maybe we'll dive into that here in a little bit in the episode. But I think one of the obvious first places that we could start is talking about boundaries. You know, when it comes to working, you know, with family in business or serving your family in business, that's something that you and I can speak directly to, because we've got clients that are direct family members, you know, extended family members, maybe, you know, divorced spouses of family members, you know, who we're still working with. So we've got some pretty interesting dynamics that we can speak to, but I don't know. I thought boundaries might be a good place for us to start.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. You know, it's a struggle for any family members who are working together. I think that it becomes complicated in a lot of different ways, regardless of what that relationship is, right? So the complications are different if it's siblings versus a father and a child, right? And so there's, you know, there's got to be this kind of separation of business life versus home life, right? And it's not an easy tightrope to walk, so to speak. It's not easy for any family member to kind of try to figure that out, especially, you know, I think of myself, you know, I've mentioned my son, he's 24. He just started his first, you know, true career job yesterday, right? So first time it's like a real job, there's a salary that's involved and, you know, there's benefits and there's all these kinds of things that are involved. And I think to myself, like, if he worked for us in our practice, how would our relationship be different? And how would I need to be guarded? And how would he need to be guarded? And how would he need to treat things differently? And what boundaries would we have to set up for family time versus business time to not create strife between us, but also to not create strife with the rest of the family, right? That's all you talk about. Can we talk about something else, right? There's a lot of that kind of stuff that goes on. But, you know, the other thing that kind of happens a lot specifically with children, and then maybe I'll let you kind of talk about, you know, the sibling side of things, but with children and parents working together in the same business, it's really hard for the parent to not treat them as their child still, mm-hmm. right? And to not look at, you know, not say stuff like, listen, this is your first job. Let me show you or tell you how the real world works, right? You just came out of university, or you just came out of trade school, or you just came out of high school, whatever it is, when you start working with a parent, and there's still that, you know, they never pick up their socks, or they never clean their laundry. How can I expect them to be organized at work? And, you know, all those kinds of things, these preconceived notions that you have to try to push out, but it's super, super hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I jotted a note down before our discussion today, and I just said, you know, when you're working with family members or multiple generations of families, you know, understanding where they're at versus understanding where other, you know, members of the family are at, I think is really important, because it allows you to be a little bit more empathetic to their situation. But I think you mentioned something that I think is, maybe we'll just kind of double click on, and, you know, trying to set those healthy, transparent boundaries, you know, on the front end, I think are extremely important as you enter into a business, you know, family relationship. And I think something that's really important is, you know, like one of those boundaries that you need to set is like, look, I'm not going to treat you any differently than I treat my other employees. Like, we obviously have a unique relationship here, but it's important for you to understand that for this relationship to be successful, like I have to treat you just like I would treat any of my other employees, and you have to be okay with that. And so let me tell you about what that means and what that looks like. I mean, hopefully the senior person there, hopefully they treat their employees well and they treat them respectfully and they have good relationships with them. And so, hopefully that has attributed to their success and where they are, currently. But I think being really open and transparent about what that relationship is going to look like and setting those expectations on the front end are imperative to that relationship being successful, over the course of hopefully many years working together.
Yeah, I'll just mention kind of what I'll call a pro tip that helps, right? It sounds crazy, but whatever the rest of your employees call you, right, whether it's Landon or Mr. Mance or, whatever, your child who's coming into the business should call you that same name at work. And the reason that that's important is it changes the whole mindset. They know if they are calling you by your name instead of dad, right, or mom, that changes their whole mindset. It helps them to know that they are in business mode right now. And it helps you to know that they are in business mode, and it keeps you guys kind of on that same page. It sounds crazy, but it does actually make a difference.
Yeah. Great point, Mr. Peterson. Great point.
Yes, I do make Landon call me Mr. Peterson all the time.
I think about my own family members. I don't work, none of my family members work with me in any of my businesses. Now, we serve some of my family members in our wealth management practice, but they don't work, with us in this business or any other business. And I think about like what I would do, how I would approach it, what I would say, and I don't think that I could work with any of my family members. I really don't. My siblings, I love all my siblings. I'm close with all my siblings. I've got great relationships with them. But do I think that I could work with them? I don't. I definitely couldn't work with either one of my parents. love them both. Great relationships with them, but couldn't work with them. But if I did work with any of them, I think if we were going to be successful, that relationship would definitely have to, the dynamics of the relationship would definitely have to change. The way that we interact with each other would have to change. And I like that suggestion a lot, of addressing them by the same name that other employees would address them by. Because I do think that changes the mindset, a lot. But I don't know. Do you think that you could work with Robin or AJ or Ella? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
So here's the thing. I've worked with all three of them over the years at different times. Way back when we were newlyweds, Robin and I worked together and it did not go well. I was put in a supervisory position over her And so I'm sure that made it even worse, right? So this is pre-owning my own business. This is working for somebody else, of course. It did not go well. And we probably would not work well together. Even we probably wouldn't even be good on a game show together, right? I mean, that's the thing. Like we've been married almost 26 years. We've got a good relationship. We travel, you know, together quite a bit. But it causes some issues from time to time just because of the way that we both approach things differently. So Robin, definitely not. She would tell you the exact same thing. She has no desire to work with me or for me. My kids, I believe that I could work with AJ. So both of my kids have worked for me before. AJ in an outside business. Ella, as you know, worked in our wealth management practice, really before you and I were like super, super, you know, connected and operating as true partners at the time, but we had joint clients and we interacted a fair amount and you saw her. That did not go super well. And so, you know, I say some of these things, I'm giving some of this feedback or recommendations because I've kind of made every mistake in the book over the years and have learned some things along the way. And then obviously in consulting with some of our clients that have family-owned businesses, I've had these discussions, we've had these discussions with them. And I, you know, we've just kind of learned how things work and what works in counseling with them. But yeah, I think AJ and I would figure it out. It would be stressful early on. I think we'd have to kind of figure out our groove, but he does a good job now. He's more mature now than obviously he's been in the past. He does a good job now of recognizing that Austin as a person can give pretty darn good advice and guidance in a lot of different ways, as well as dad now, right? Like teenagers, they think their parents know nothing. And obviously as they get older, they kind of learn that they do. But he comes to me for a lot of advice from a business standpoint in everything that he does. And I see some things in him to where I think it could work if it ever went that direction. I don't know if it is. He's in a different industry altogether. And I believe he'll be massively successful in the things that he does and won't come to work for us. But Robin and Ella would be more than likely a no. Now, Ella's only 21. So could she mature to AJ's level and maybe it would work out in the future? Sure. But she's on her own career path as well. So I don't really give it much thought.
Yeah. Well, we got just a couple more minutes. So let's talk about some polar opposite situations that we've seen. So we've got clients that own businesses where they own and run the business with each other. So whether it's a parent, child, it is siblings, you know, we've seen it all. And, you know, I think back, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, but we had a client that we worked with. They were three siblings that owned a business, and I'll make a very long story short. They were working great together. Their vision was all aligned. And the oldest sibling basically pulled the rug out and left the business, started a competing business, and it was just an absolute disaster. And we haven't spoke with those three folks in a couple years, but last time we talked, they were battling it out in court, and it's probably still dragging on to this day. And that was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So just an absolute mess. And their relationships were disintegrated essentially. So I highly doubt they've repaired those, but hopefully they have. And then we've also seen the exact opposite of that, where we've had direct family members that have worked together successfully for years or decades. And so why do you think, Austin, like, just in your opinion, why do you think that there's the family members or the families that make it and the families that don't. So maybe these are just kind of your closing thoughts, and I'll give some and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound self-serving to what we do, obviously, from a business standpoint, but planning is where the difference is, right? So those siblings that you mentioned, we had just started the planning process with them. They'd hired us to do a lot of different things. And then all of this happened. And so we kind of tried to cobble everything together and save things. And ultimately, you know, they were going their own directions. And, you know, we ultimately parted ways with them as well. But it comes down to planning for the worst and planning for the best and having extremely open communication lines and documentation of certain things along the way is really where you see the difference, right? I mean, it's really hard, you know, and you and I've had this conversation as business partners, but it's really hard to have the conversations of what happens if, right? And fill in the blank. I pass away. I become disabled. You become disabled. You get divorced. I get divorced. Decide that we don't want to be in this business any longer. We have other interests that we want to do. Like, you have to talk through all of those different things, and it's an uncomfortable conversation, but you will be much better in the long run having had that conversation. One, because you got vulnerable with each other and realized that it was okay to do that. And two, there's a plan that's put in place for when whatever happens, because it's not if, something is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it's just, what do we do when Austin's out of the country for a week, right? Like, all those types of things are conversations that need to be had. So communication, documentation, and planning, I would say, are the three big things that kind of help those types of relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Great points. And, you know, I just have to mention this because we've seen it happen where, when you get into business with family, you are taking on a big risk, because even if you document and you plan and you're transparent and you have the conversations and it's all rainbows and butterflies, there could come a day where the rainbows are behind the clouds and the butterflies have flown away and you are in some turmoil. And if things go a little bit south, some people just can't, I don't know what the right word is. They just can't handle, they can't process, you know, something that happens. So whether it's a termination or it's a big disagreement or, you know, whatever the case may be, some people are just not wired to be able to compartmentalize those relationships. And if you have to part ways with an employee who's a spouse or a child or a parent, like, you take that risk of ruining that relationship, because all the planning and the upfront work in the world just unfortunately doesn't make a difference for some people. So you do take that risk when you get into business with family, that relationship could be damaged and could potentially never be the same. So, you know, you have to think through that as well. You know, like, I think about, you know, my wife Tia and I potentially working together, and I just don't think we would ever even go there, because just our personalities, and I don't think that we could ever make that work. I don't think, you know, we've never tried it. I don't think either of us have any desire to try it. And I think probably the big reason for that is that we're not going to jeopardize our marriage and in the relationship that we have, because it's rock solid. And I think she would say the same thing that I would say, which is, I think we would test our relationship, and I just don't think that's something that we would be willing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very, very great points. We're definitely at the end of time here. I'll just throw one thing out there. If you're listening and you're saying, well, this doesn't apply to me, I'm not in a family-owned business, like that can change in the blink of an eye, right? So some of the things I mentioned, disability, death, all that kind of stuff, it you know, a spouse has to step in or a child has to step in, or maybe you're just in business with a friend or somebody that you used to work with and you decided we're going to be partners in a business now. Like everything that we have said applies to that as well. Mm-hmm. And that's going to apply to essentially anybody who's listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Good way to close. All right, y'all. Well, if you're listening to us live, which I don't know if there's anybody out there, but if you are, we just got some cool swag. Shoot me a DM and I'll throw one of these cool Backbone water bottles in the mail for you. But appreciate your thoughts today. Good to have you back, brother. And we'll talk to y'all next time.
Peace.
Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guests, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.